The time is 12 and a half minutes after, make it 13 and a half minutes after 6 o'clock. In the top stories of the news this morning, 19 parachuters, skydivers, jumped yesterday from a plane going into what they had thought was going to be a skydiving target. Instead of that, the plane was over Lake Erie, unbeknownst to anybody, including the pilot and those who jumped. Two survivors only have been picked up, and two bodies have been found. There are 15 of the skydivers who are still missing. We'll continue in just a moment with News Radio 88.
Want to know about a good place to eat without spending a fortune? Then join me, Myra Waldo, for What's New in Restaurants on WCBS News Radio 88 weekdays.
Here in Midtown Manhattan, it's cloudy, temperature 69 degrees, humidity 90%, winds out of the southwest at 7 miles an hour. Barometer reads 29.86 and is steady, THI is 69. Partial clearing this morning, partly sunny and less humid this afternoon, high in the 70s. Chance of a few showers this evening. Tonight's outlook partly cloudy and cool, lows 55 to 60. Checking temperatures around the tri-state area, Bridgeport 72, Kennedy 70, Lakehurst 68. Repeating the current mid-Manhattan rating, 69 degrees, and the pollen count as compiled by the Long Island Jewish Hospital is 2. This is News Radio 88, WCBS FM.
Right here, a look at the news before it happens. It's quarter after 6 right now. And here are developments to watch for, stories which will be unfolding today. The New York City Council will hold a hearing in an effort to go to bat for the consumer. And we'll hear testimony on a proposed Truth in Lending bill. The measure would assure accurate statements of terms when consumers borrow money or buy on the installment plan. There's an all-star lineup of witnesses. Senator Robert Kennedy is one of them. State Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz is another. And City Council President Frank O'Connor is another. Negotiations between New York City and the United Federation of Teachers are due to resume this morning at 10 o'clock. Archibald Cox, the head of Mayor Lindsay's special mediation panel, says that some progress was made in contract talks over this weekend. The Defense Department is expected to announce its decision today whether George Lincoln Rockwell can be buried in a national military cemetery. Rockwell, the American Nazi Party leader who was killed Friday by a sniper, was a Navy aviator. Rockwell's Nazi group hopes to bury its founder at the Culpeper, Virginia National Cemetery. But the veterans of foreign wars have protested. In another development, Rockwell's accused assassin, John Pattler, is scheduled to appear at a preliminary hearing in a Virginia court. His attorneys say that he will plead not guilty to that murder charge. Washington's eyes on Saigon, leaving for South Vietnam. Today is the departure day for the group of 20 prominent Americans chosen by President Johnson to observe the South Vietnamese election. The delegation that will watch over the September 3rd balloting includes government officials and representatives of labor, business, and organized religion. 17 minutes after 6 o'clock. H. Rapp Brown will be back in town today. He's scheduled to speak at a Manhattan news conference being held by a group called the National Mobilization Committee to End the War in Vietnam. Speaking in Detroit yesterday, Brown told a crowd of 3,000 Negroes to, quote, get yourself some guns. Another long debate is expected to begin at the New York State Constitutional Convention. Under discussion this time, the proposal for free higher education for all New York State residents. And Greenwich Village residents, grab your brooms. Bring them to Washington Square Park at 6 o'clock this evening, because that's when the neighborhood folks plan to begin a volunteer cleanup of the park. It's a party day for poor New York youngsters who are given jobs for the summer in the Urban Core program. A party marking the closing of the program is scheduled for the Woolman Rink in Central Park at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And the list of speakers for that includes Mayor Lindsay and Senator Jacob Javits. Mayor Lindsay has said, incidentally, that he hopes that such programs as the Urban Core program can be continued so that they won't end when the summer ends. A very special anniversary is going to be celebrated in Nebraska. It was 50 years ago today that the Reverend Edward Flanagan opened Boys Town. He did it by borrowing $90 and renting a house. Today there are 900 boys at Boys Town, Nebraska, about 10 miles from Omaha. The youths are all orphans or they come from broken homes. During the half century, about 15,000 boys have found homes in Boys Town, and most of them have left with a high school diploma. In honor of the anniversary, Paolo Cardinal Marella, the Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, will celebrate a Mass at Boys Town. 18 minutes after 6 o'clock is the time. It's cloudy in Midtown Manhattan. The temperature is 69 degrees. Time now for an early morning break, the lighter side of life, and a look at the day's less weighty items. In England, Mrs. Ruby Martin has discovered what the real meaning of flower power is. A London housewife, Mrs. Martin, bought a few plant seeds a while back, requesting something miniature in size because her garden isn't big enough. She has to do with a flower box. Well, today, Mrs. Martin is the proud possessor of a plant that towers like Jack's beanstalk, looks like a tomato plant with dahlia flowers, and is nicknamed Fred because, says Mrs. Martin, it's behaving so grandly I can't call it it. Fred now measures more than 8 feet tall, and Mrs. Martin has taken to watering it, from her second floor bathroom window. Also in London, a cleaning establishment has responded to the miniskirt revolution with the mini price. It says it will clean miniskirts for 2 pence an inch, slightly more than 2 cents, or 35 cents for a conventional 15-inch miniskirt, if there is such a convention. In France, the latest in op art from a chef named Louis Brondolo. He bakes his own recipes on canvas. Brondolo says it's as simple as making meringues, but his technique remains a secret. So far, he sent 6 of his baked artworks to a gallery in fashionable Deauville on the Normandy coast. And like a good cook, he has confidence that the public will ultimately acquire a taste for his work. And in Durham, New Hampshire, a Soviet scientist has told the 56th Annual Poultry Science Association convention that his country is working on a 2-year laying hen and already has increased egg-laying life to 18 months. That's an average of 397 eggs a hen. Today's lighter side of life, a breakfast omelet, if you will. 20 minutes after 6 o'clock, again, it's cloudy. The temperature is 69 degrees and the humidity 90% in Midtown Manhattan. The forecast, partial clearing this morning, partly sunny and less humid this afternoon with a high in the 70s. A chance of a few showers this evening. The outlook for tonight, partly cloudy and cool, the low 55 to 65. And as far as the pollen count is concerned, Long Island Jewish Hospital says that the pollen count is 2, which is low enough so that it should not bother anybody. The big stories in the news. An air and water search is underway for 15 skydivers missing after a premature jump from a plane over Lake Erie. 2 other sportsmen were rescued off the Ohio shore and the body of 2 others recovered. The Pentagon may rule today on whether slain American Nazi Party leader George Lincoln Rockwell can be buried in a national cemetery. At least 500 persons were killed or injured in a series of Viet Cong raids aimed at disrupting South Vietnam's September 3rd election. The dead include 7 Americans. Firefighters in Idaho report terrific progress in battling forest blazes sweeping areas of that state. But the fight goes on against timber fires in Montana, California, Washington, Oregon, and British Columbia. Some of those fires in the Northwest are described as the worst that anybody can remember. 1 man was slightly injured when a 2-engine plane carrying 13 passengers was forced to make a pancake landing in a harbor at Scituate, Massachusetts. Because of the difficulty with the WCBS AM transmitter caused by an airplane accident, the planned start of the Young Sound morning program on WCBS FM with Wally King as the host has been delayed. The Young Sound morning show will start at 6 a.m. each Monday through Friday, as soon as repairs to the WCBS AM transmitter have been completed. 20 American leaders picked by President Johnson head for Saigon today, and their mission is to observe the final week of South Vietnam's election campaign. It is going to be a big, important week in South Vietnam's history. It's also turning into a bloody one. The worst Viet Cong terror campaign of the war already has left more than 500 dead and wounded, and the Viet Cong attacks are continuing. Today, the communists attacked the U.S. Marines' biggest helicopter base in Vietnam, the giant Marble Mountain compound near Da Nang. 4 Marines were killed in the rocket assault, and 9 helicopters were destroyed. 23 minutes after 6 o'clock. In Washington, the subject of corruption in Vietnam is continuing to draw strong criticism. 2 congressional investigators have written Secretary of State Dean Rusk on the matter. Their message is that unless South Vietnam cleans up graft and mismanagement in its American aid program, the United States should reassess its position towards the Saigon government. The call came from Democrat John Moss of California and Republican Ogden Reed of New York, who've been investigating the aid program for the past 2 years. Urgent efforts resume today to ward off a threatened strike that could tie up the nation's auto industry and perhaps even cause harm to the U.S. economy, as a strike most surely would. For a late report on the status of the negotiations, here is Dave White in Detroit.
The week of the showdown is at hand in the slow-motion contract talks between the automotive industry giants and the United Auto Workers Union. And without saying so, both sides are girding for a strike, hard on the heels of the September 6th expiration of current agreements between the Big Three and the UAW. There's no prospect the union will be satisfied with the economic counteroffer to be presented by General Motors tomorrow and Ford and Chrysler soon thereafter. Nor are the companies prepared to accept the $4 an hour package of union demands for increased pay, wage parity for Canadian workers, guaranteed income, pension improvements, and fringe benefits. The UAW Executive Board will look over the company offers, then will pick a strike target by Thursday. Union President Walter Reuther, whose aides are drafting strike plans, will head a top brass bargaining team to the target company for head-knocking marathon meetings certain to last until the strike deadline, and possibly longer. This is Dave White in Detroit.
Planes, helicopters, and Coast Guard cutters are sweeping the windswept waters off Lake Erie this morning, but there is little hope that they will find what they're looking for. 15 skydivers are missing and believed to have drowned in the lake. The bodies of two others already have been recovered from the waters. It is the worst disaster in parachute history. 19 skydivers jumped out of a converted B-25 bomber over the lake yesterday. Only two are known to have survived. Two bodies have been recovered. Hearings on a federal truth in lending bill open this morning at New York City Hall, and Senator Robert Kennedy is to lead off testimony in favor of that bill. In remarks prepared for the hearing, Kennedy says the bill is needed to prevent the exploitation of the poor. And Robert Kennedy warns that resentment against such exploitation is one of the causes of riots. The bill would require banks and merchants to make it clear in advance what total interest charges are on loans and merchandise bought on installments. This morning's hearing opens at 10 o'clock this morning. New York City Council President Frank O'Connor and State Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz also will testify, and both of them will also testify in favor of the bill. President Johnson's proposed tax increase is running into still more opposition in Congress. Senator William Proxmire, the chairman of the Joint Congressional Economic Committee, this morning joined the list of critics of the proposal. He says Mr. Johnson could easily trim his budget request to avoid a tax increase. Senator Proxmire adds that neither the president nor his advisors have yet made a case for a tax increase. Hearings on the matter continue today before the House Ways and Means Committee. 26 past 6. Fresh from a brief trip to Detroit, SNCC leader H. Rapp Brown returns to New York this morning. He's scheduled to speak at the Overseas Press Club at 11 o'clock. This time, he'll be addressing a news conference of the national mobilization to end the war in Vietnam. In Detroit, yesterday, Brown said the Detroit riot 5 weeks ago would, as he put it, look like a picnic compared to what would happen when Negroes get organized. Tri-state weather, here in Midtown Manhattan, it's cloudy. The temperature is 69 degrees and the humidity is 90%. Winds are blowing from the southwest at 7 miles an hour. The barometer reads 29.86 and steady, and the THI, the temperature humidity index, is 69. The forecast, partial clearing this morning, partly sunny and less humid this afternoon with a high in the 70s, and a chance of a few showers this evening, just what we need. Tonight's outlook, partly cloudy and cool with a low 55 to 65. Repeating the current mid-Manhattan reading, it's 69 degrees, and the pollen count as compiled by Long Island Jewish Hospital is 2. 27 minutes after 6 o'clock. The following streets will be closed today in Manhattan. East 51st Street between 5th and Madison Avenues. Also in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway is closed northbound from 46th Street to 61st Street. The only open in one lane southbound. That is to say that the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway is closed northbound, and southbound is open in only one lane from 61st Street to the Kosciuszko Bridge. New York City police units have set up radar units on Pelham and Hutchinson River Parkways in the Bronx, Grand Central Parkway and North and South Conduit Avenues in Queens, the Belt and Ocean Parkways in Brooklyn, and on the Drumgoole Boulevard on Staten Island. Alternate side of the street parking regulations are in effect today. Now checking mass transit this morning. Commuter trains are on or close to schedule. Path subways are operating normally. There are no unusual delays to report on the city subways, and Staten Island ferry boats are on time. Conditions at the three major airports are good this morning. and operations are normal with less than 15-minute delays on arrivals and departures. And this note from motorists driving into the city this morning on the Long Island Expressway. The right-hand westbound lane from 46th Street to the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway is closed because of holes left in the road by last night's rain. That's the right-hand westbound lane from 46th Street to the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway on the Long Island Expressway, closed because of holes left in the road by all that rain last night. We'll be checking within the next little while with the WCBS Weather Center to find out what the story behind this tremendous rain over the weekend and what we can expect in the next couple of days. And also we'll be going up to the WCBS helicopters to find out what effect all this weather is having on the traffic this morning. The time is 29 minutes after 6 o'clock. This is Charles Osgood, and this is News Radio 88.
Here in Midtown Manhattan, it's cloudy. Temperature 69 degrees. Humidity is 90%. Winds out of the southwest at 7 miles an hour. The barometer reads 29.86 steady. THI is 69. Partial clearing this morning. Partly sunny, less humid this afternoon. High in the 70s. Chance of a few showers this evening, and tonight's outlook partly cloudy and cool, lows 55 to 65. Checking temperatures around the tri-state area, Bridgeport 72, Kennedy 70, Lakehurst 68. Repeating the current mid-Manhattan reading 69 degrees, pollen count as compiled by the Long Island Jewish Hospital is 2. This is News Radio 88, WCBS FM, New York.
President Johnson begins his 60th year, hearings on air safety and congestion, and South Vietnam's draft dodgers. President Johnson has begun his 60th year and is reported serene this morning, convinced that his policies, both domestic and foreign, are sound. The president is in good health. Mr. Johnson expressed thanks for his health yesterday as he quietly celebrated his 59th birthday. Mrs. Johnson and daughter Linda were at the White House. Daughter Lucy was in Texas with her family, but she phoned her birthday greetings to the president. In the nation's capital today, both houses of Congress open hearings on the problems of air safety and airway congestion. A House subcommittee will concentrate on air safety, and on the Senate side of the Capitol, a panel will focus on the bottlenecks in the airway system and the crowded airports. Lobbies representing all segments of civil aviation, but the passengers are poised to tell Congress that solutions are urgently needed. The big question is this: who will pay for the solutions? Prime Minister Ky of South Vietnam says South Vietnamese draft dodgers will be in uniform and fighting for their country after the first of the year. Ky says this change will occur if his running mate, Chief of State Nguyen Van Thieu, the military candidate in the September 3rd presidential election, is the choice of the voters. Ky made this pledge yesterday on WCBS-TV's Face the Nation. Ky said it was not right that young Vietnamese civilians should be filling the movie theaters and the nightclubs in Saigon when soldiers from the United States and other allied nations, in Ky's words, are fighting for us and risking their lives for us. Ky also says the elections will be free and fair. He said charges of rigging are nothing more than campaign tactics. And Ky denies that he is a mysterious personality. He said there is nothing mysterious about him, that he is simply a patriot. Jackie Robinson, the first Negro to play big league baseball, wants it understood that he disapproves and rejects the views of Negro extremists. Robinson, now the chairman of Harlem's Freedom National Bank, was interviewed on WABC-TV's Youth Wants to Know. He was asked to comment on white liberals who have been turning away from the Negro civil rights cause because of Rap Brown, Stokely Carmichael, and the rioting in Newark, Detroit, and other cities this summer.
They were never really in our corner in the first place. If they use any of these little excuses to say that if it wasn't for Paul, if it wasn't for Dr. King's statement, if it wasn't for Stokely Carmichael, I would be in there fighting. I think this is just an excuse for their real feeling to come out, because how in the world, with the same percentage of Negroes we're talking about in Vietnam, can we say that we will deny the masses of the people their rights simply because three or four individuals or 1,000 individuals do certain kind of things? We don't go around blaming all whites because a speck kills 8 nurses out in Chicago, or there are other murders and there are other acts of violence. We don't condemn all white people, and we resent the fact that regardless of what happens, everybody condemns us. You constantly hear that Cassius Clay didn't go in the Army, and they blame all Negroes because Cassius Clay didn't go in the Army. And this is something, there are a lot of whites who have refused to go, and a lot of whites who are tearing up their draft cards. But Negroes don't go around condemning, and I think it's high time that the white masses understand that, that we have good, we have bad, just as you have good, you have bad.
Jackie Robinson, it's 6:33. Militant SNCC leader H. Rapp Brown, just back from a rip-snorting speech in Detroit, turns his attention to the Vietnam War in a few hours. Brown is scheduled to speak at a news conference called by the National Mobilization to End the War in Vietnam at the Overseas Press Club in Manhattan. Yesterday in Detroit, the Negro militant voiced his approval of the actions of those who took part in the recent rioting in the Motor City. Brown said what happened in Detroit was a picnic compared to what he claims will happen after Negroes are armed and organized. State Senator Seymour Thaler of Queens has charged that there is profiteering brought on by the Medicare and Medicaid programs. Thaler was interviewed on News Radio 88's Let's Find Out.
It would appear that Medicaid has caused an increase in the cost of eyeglasses ranging anywhere from 100 to 300%. Under Medicaid, an ophthalmologist who is an MD who examines eyes for a simple eye examination which leads to prescription gets $20 per patient. Now, I'm told that before Medicare and Medicaid, the average fee was about $10. Now, at the present time, even the private patients are being forced to pay more because when they object, the doctor points to the Medicaid fee schedule and he says, well, I'm getting for poor people $20. I certainly am entitled to it from you.
State Senator Seymour Thaler on Let's Find Out last night. What killed Brian Epstein, the discoverer and manager of the Beatles? An autopsy is expected to be ordered in London, and the Beatles have reached the British capital, and they're reported to be in a state of shock. Epstein was found dead in bed yesterday. In New York, Epstein's American attorney, Walter Hoffer, says that Epstein had hepatitis 8 or 9 months ago. Epstein was a millionaire. He had made himself and the Beatles millionaires. He was a bachelor, and he was 32. The Columbia Broadcasting System has announced a revolutionary electronic device. It will allow the playback of motion pictures or other visual material through a conventional television set. The new device is called Electronic Video Recording. It is scheduled for world marketing in late 1969 or early 1970. The device involves the use of a 7-inch cartridge of special film. CBS says it can be inserted or removed from a playback machine very easily, and the playback machine can be put on top of a television set. 24 minutes before 7 o'clock. WCBS News Radio 88 is on the air this morning, but the radio tower used by WCBS is out of business. The 480-foot tower on High Island in the Bronx was struck and put out of commission yesterday afternoon by a single-engine Piper Cherokee plane. The High Island Tower was used by both WCBS and WNBC for AM broadcasts. At least two persons were killed in the crash. The bodies of two men have been recovered. The police are perplexed by one object that came to the surface. It was a woman's overnight bag containing female clothing and personal effects. Stanley Leonard, an official of the company that owned the plane, has told WCBS News Radio 88 that the plane was flown by an unauthorized person. Leonard told WCBS newsman Jack Cavanaugh, someone just took the keys out of the office. WCBS News Radio 88 is broadcasting on FM, expects to be back on AM within a few hours. The worst disaster in the history of parachuting. Planes, helicopters, and Coast Guard cutters are searching windswept Lake Erie this morning for 15 missing skydivers. All 15 are feared dead in the lake's choppy waters. 21 skydivers who practiced jumping as a sport dropped out of a converted B-25 yesterday. Only 4 of the 21 parachutists are known to have survived. 19 of the 21 jumped over the water. 2 landed on the land, as had been planned. 2 were rescued from the water. 2 bodies have been recovered. The plane was flying at 20,000 feet over heavy clouds when they got the signal to jump. When the parachutists broke through the clouds, they found themselves over Lake Erie instead of the field where they had expected to land. 22 minutes before 7. A House Republican leader says this morning that Congress must accept a share of the blame for failures in federal programs. Congressman Melvin Laird, he's the chairman of the House GOP conference, says that the nation's lawmakers of both parties have fallen down on their watchdog duties. Laird suggests that members of Congress should spend at least 2 days a month checking on federal programs and activities. The Wisconsin congressman says he understands. Hundreds of firefighters in the Pacific Northwest are reported gaining this morning in their battle against forest fires that began 2 weeks ago. But there are still more than 400 separate forest fires ravaging Idaho, Montana, Washington, and British Columbia. 135,000 acres of timberland have been lost. Idaho has been hit the hardest, and Governor Don Samuelson has issued a call for federal assistance. For all the folks who use the Long Island Railroad, life is going to be more pleasant starting 1 year from now. That's when the first of 270 air-conditioned new cars will go into service. A $57 million contract for the new equipment has been awarded to the Budd Company of Philadelphia. The Long Island is owned by New York State and administered by the Metropolitan Commuter Transportation Authority. The MCTA says this is the largest single contract ever placed by the Long Island Railroad. Authority Chairman William Ronan says that the 270 high-speed cars are, in his words, the biggest event to aid commuters since the opening of Grand Central Terminal. That was 54 years ago. New York State Attorney General Louis Lefkowitz has lashed what he calls flagrant abuses of the consumer. Lefkowitz says positive action must be taken to compel all lending agencies to give consumers a better picture of the true cost of credit. Lefkowitz said the less affluent New Yorkers find themselves caught, in the Attorney General's words, in the web of excessive credit costs. Michigan Senator Robert Griffin says he will introduce a resolution to help the water-short Middle East. Griffin says his proposal will have co-sponsors. The resolution will seek to rally international support for the construction of plants to turn salt water into fresh water. The Michigan lawmaker says that desalting plants can produce as much fresh water as the entire Jordan River yields now. Senator Griffin said the desalting plants can be an imaginative first step toward resolving differences between Israel and the Arab states. In Washington this morning, word that the National Security Agency has a problem. The NSA has lots of secrets, and it's having trouble getting rid of them, literally. In testimony just released by a House Appropriations panel, the National Security Agency has asked for $1 million to build a new incinerator. NSA officials explain that they now have equipment for turning classified papers into pulp, and the present equipment can handle 16 to 18 tons every 24 hours. But that falls short by 20% of the load, even if the equipment for pulping is run 7 days a week. The weather in just a moment.
Can the words of one obscure man change your viewing habits? Here's Mr. Elvin Schroeder.
I would like to talk about a new CBS television series called Mannix. It's about this private investigator who...
Connor stars as
Mannix,
a rebel in a computerized world.
Guns, Lou, not gimmicks.
A new kind of private eye.
Mannix.
Saturday nights in color on CBS in the winner's circle. Mannix, the eye has it.
I think you'll really like this program.
Mannix premieres 10 p.m. Saturday, September 10th on Channel 2. It's 18 minutes to 7 o'clock, 18 to 7. It's cloudy in Midtown Manhattan. The temperature is 69 degrees. And here with sports is Pat Summerall.
Okay, Charles, and this report brought to you by Unicard, the family credit card. If somebody asked you to name what your opinion was for the biggest sports story in America today, what would you say? It seems to me that depending upon where your interests lie, you'd have to narrow it down to one of two. And both of those are right here in the New York metropolitan area. One would have to be the amazing Boston Red Sox, who come into Yankee Stadium tonight to face the Yankees. And the other, I think, would have to be the richest golf tournament of all, the Westchester Golf Classic, up at the Westchester Country Club at Harrison, New York. The Red Sox are one percentage point out of the league lead today, and despite a pitching staff that's filled by, well, just by a bunch of guys for the most part you never heard of, and a serious head injury to Tony Conigliaro, the team continues to come up with a new hero every day, and that's been their story. Yesterday, in the first game of a doubleheader out in Chicago, Jose Tartabull, who's supposed to have a weak throwing arm, with one out in the ninth inning, threw out fast Ken Berry at the plate to win that first game for Boston. Elston Howard, who also made a great play, he was the catcher on that play, made a play on the ball at the plate to tag Barry out, makes his first appearance at the stadium tonight since being traded to Boston, and that itself has got to be a pretty dramatic moment. As far as the world's richest golf tournament, the $250,000 Westchester Classic, it continues to be plagued by rain, as you probably know. The second round was rained out yesterday again for the third straight day. More than half the field had finished the round when the course was drenched again, but all the scores were wiped out. The chief victim again was Mason Rudolph. He had a 5-under par 67 erased. Saturday, Rudolph lost a 69 to the rain. Mason has played three subpar superb rounds so far, but just one of them counts. That was the 66 he shot on Thursday. Rudolph is tied for the league with Jim Colbert and Gary Player, and they will try again today to get in round number two. The tournament is now scheduled to run through Wednesday, weather permitting. We'll get into yesterday's scores after this from Unicard. I've been talking to you for some time about Unicard, the family type of credit card. They have expanded their services now to 9 different states. Formerly it was 6, and so that gives you a much bigger area in which you can shop and take advantage of the great advantage of Unicard. Unicard lets you, say, charge it for just about anything you could possibly imagine. Vacation, getting your kids ready to go back to school, whatever, Labor Day, vacation, holidays, whatever you need. Just about anything, and they give you 2 easy ways to pay, too. If you pay within 24 days after billing date, then there's no service charge, or there's an extended plan with a small service charge if you don't want to pay it all at once. Then you don't have to. Unicard makes your budgeting easier, too, because you get one bill just once a month, and on that bill, you'll find a list of the stores where you shop, the amounts, the overall total, and your payment to Unicard. It all comes on one single statement, so that means to me that there's just one check to write, and that in itself is a great feature. No membership dues, no special fees, no charge for applying for Unicard either. If you want me to get you an application, let me know. Just write my name, Pat Summerall, on a postcard, put out your name and address, and the word Unicard, and send it to me at WCBS, New York, 10019. Preseason football, a lot of activity yesterday. The Los Angeles Rams of the NFL scored 24 points in the first period and went on to trounce the San Diego Chargers of the AFL. The score was 50-7, 43-0 at the half. 2 pass interceptions and a fumble recovery set up 3 touchdowns for the Rams in the opening quarter. Fran Tarkenton, as most of you know, yesterday afternoon pitched 3 touchdown passes and led the Giants to a victory over the Minnesota Vikings, 21-3. And in the AFL, the Denver Broncos came from behind with the last period touchdown and beat the Oakland Raiders 21-17. Let me, if we have a moment here, run down the baseball scores of yesterday. Yankees 8, Washington 2, Minnesota 6, Cleveland 3. Boston and Chicago split 4-3 in the first game, won by Boston. 1-0 White Sox in the second game. Kansas City 2, Detroit 1. Baltimore, California postponed because of rain. National League, Cubs 3, Mets 1. That game was called at Chase Stadium after 7 innings because of rain. Second game was also canceled. St. Louis 6, Los Angeles 2. Cincinnati 11, Houston 8. The Phillies 2, Pittsburgh 1. That game called after 4.5 innings. Rain all over the East. The Giants 2, Atlanta nothing, and the Braves 4. The Giants won in the second game. The Braves, by the way, got their first run in 25 innings on a home run by Cleet Boyer. They've been held scoreless for that length of time. That's sports for the moment, Charles. This report brought to you by Unicard, the family credit card.
Thank you, Pat. I imagine as a former Giant that you're pretty happy to see what looks like a sort of a revival on the club. Do you suppose it's Fran Tarkenton that makes a difference?
Well, I think certainly Fran Tarkenton has got to make a difference, Charlie. To me, what's encouraging about yesterday's win is the performance of the Giant defense, because they've been scuffling around. They lost 2 of their defensive players by knee operations last week, and there was some doubt as to whether or not they'd have 11 men to show up at the Yale Bowl yesterday. But when you hold a team like Minnesota to just 3 points, then you have to be pretty encouraged.
Okay, Pat Summerall. And News Radio 88 continues in a moment.
This is News Radio 88 WCBS FM, New York.
And time now to check the traffic in the metropolitan area. We do it from a very spectacular vantage point. Bob Richardson in WCBS helicopter number 1.
Well, here we are up over Westchester County, and boy, there's still some of that nasty low-lying cloud scud, particularly out over Long Island and a little bit here I see over the Palisades of New Jersey. However, it should not be affecting visibility on the ground or driving condition. We have very important closing to announce on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway northbound from 46th Street up to 61st Street. All three lanes are closed. Avoid using the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway northbound. Instead, use the FDR Drive. I say again, all three lanes of the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway are closed from 46th Street, leading from Brooklyn toward Queens up to 61st Street, and southbound on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway from 61st Street to the Kosciuszko Bridge, one lane is open. Only one lane open southbound on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. Please go on in and use FDR Drive. On the Long Island Expressway, the right lane westbound is closed from 46th Street to the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. So as you go through that area of construction on the Long Island Expressway toward Manhattan, keep to your left. We saw no lane blockages at all out in Nassau County, with the Long Island Expressway doing better than the Northern State Parkway, Grand Central Parkway, very slightly better. And the Cross Island Parkway is okay. There's a stall car leading from the Cross Island Parkway northbound on-ramp to westbound Long Island Expressway. Keep to your left as you come up onto the Long Island Expressway from the Cross Island Parkway northbound. Westchester County, roads are dry. It has a clean bill of health. North and southbound routes, as well as east and westbound. That's it for now. Back to you, Charles.
Okay, Bob. We have one street closing to report in Manhattan, East 51st Street between 5th and Madison Avenue. And checking mass transit this morning, commuter trains are on or close to schedule. PATH subways are operating normally. There are no unusual delays to report on the city subways, and the Staten Island ferry boats are on time. Conditions at the three major airports are good this morning, contrasting with last night when we had a lot of problems. Operations are normal with less than 15-minute delays on arrivals and departures. The time is 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, and time now to check the weather. Let's go over to the WCBS News Radio 88 Weather Center and chat with Gordon Barnes. Gordon, what is it going to do today after this wet weekend we've had?
Charles, it's going to be really a very pleasant day once the sun, which has been up now about an hour and a half, gets a chance to burn off some of the fog and cloudiness in the area. Up at Poughkeepsie, the sun is already shining there. The clouds are now beginning to dissipate in the Bridgeport area. And maybe Pat Somerville would like to know that as far as the forecast for the golf tournament, looks favorable for today right through Wednesday. Also, for the Yankee and Red Sox game, the forecast is good for that tonight. And I'm quite sure that you'll be checking throughout the day, along with all of our listeners, regarding that search that's going on in Lake Erie. Forecast for that area for today calls for showers that will be gradually ending this morning. The winds will be a little gusty, though, up to 30, 31 miles per hour. However, that should not hamper the search operations for the skydivers. And maybe a few people will be doing some commuting, going up to Boston. The rain showers will be ending there this morning. There are high temperatures this afternoon in the 70s. Going down to the Washington area, partly cloudy skies, cooler temperatures, higher about 80 degrees. And let's see, going up to Montreal, maybe up to the Expo. Rain showers this morning, gradual clearing this afternoon, and high temperature of 75. In the metropolitan area, many people, I'm quite sure, are somewhat concerned about the fog, particularly over Nassau and Suffolk counties. The fog should dissipate by 10 o'clock this morning. Visibilities are beginning to improve. And all in all, it should work out to a very pleasant day, with the possibility of just a few showers late this evening. That's the latest we have in the Weather Center, Charles.
Thank you, Gordon. It seems as if we've had so many wet weekends this summer. Have you kept any track of that, Gordon? Is there any? I'm sure that there's no reason why weekends ought to be wetter than any other time, but somebody who has been keeping track tells me that only 4 out of 18 weekends have been pleasant this year. Has this been an especially wet summer, Gordon?
It has been one of the wettest summers since 1938 in the New York area, Charles. The last time that the metropolitan area had 2 consecutive pleasant days on a weekend was back on June the 3rd and 4th. Since then, we've had one Saturday, which I believe was July the 3rd, that was good, but the 4th was bad. And then on August the 6th, which was a Sunday, it was a pleasant day, but the Saturday prior to that was terrible. So we are in, or have been having, actually one of our wettest years. Maybe it's because we all have weekends off.
That must be it. Jupiter Pluvius, or whoever is deciding such things, apparently doesn't like to see us enjoy our weekends.
Well, that's very
maybe
true.
There are a few weekends left this summer. Let's hope that those turn out to be nice ones. Gordon Barnes at the WCBS News Radio 88 Weather Center. We'll be checking with him throughout the morning.
Jim Harriet on WCBS News Radio 88. Mobility gives News Radio 88 a big edge.
Dave Flanders in WCBS News Radio 88, mobile unit number 1. Proceeding north on Henry Hudson Parkway, this is Jack Cavanaugh and WCBS News Radio 88 Mobile Unit Number 2. We're in Journal Square, Jersey City, where right now...
This is Dick Gilbert in Helicopter Number 1.
Neil Bush, Helicopter Number 2.
Still cutting, reporting from Bridgeport, where a major industrial city...
This is John Anthony reporting to WCBS News Radio 88 from Roosevelt Field, Long Island.
Mobility and flexibility. Those two words best express why WCBS News Radio 88 is like nothing you've ever heard before. 5:30 a.m. to 8:10 p.m., Monday through Friday, right here.
7 minutes to 7 o'clock on News Radio 88, the president of the American Medical Association is going to suggest that people over 65 eligible for Medicare receive a direct government subsidy to finance their purchase of private health insurance. Dr. Milford O. Rouse, testifying on the administration's Social Security amendments, is planning to tell the Senate Finance Committee such a plan would be more practical than the current Medicare program involving the government, insurance carriers, and physicians. Flushing Meadow Park in Queens, that's where the 1964-65 New York World's Fair was held, and also the World's Fair of 1939. Parks Administrator August Heckscher wants the acreage at Flushing Meadow to be put to good use for the people of New York City.
We have plans for a park which will not be a spectator park, but which will provide an opportunity for people in all seasons, in the evenings as well as in the day, to engage in active sports on their own, in all kinds of sports clinics and so on, and at the same time to have nearby and mixed up with the sports even cultural events. A theater, a rehearsal halls, a dance hall, and things of that kind. I myself think that sports and arts ought not to be two things separated as they have been in our civilization.
Parks Administrator August Heckscher. More news in a moment.
I am brilliant. Simply brilliant.
Yes, sir. I've always said that, J.B.
Yes, yes. I am so smart, I'm dumb.
Dumb? Yes, sir, boss. You're dumb. Real dumb.
Now, months ago, I heard they improved Ballantine, made it a premium beer. Even put the word premium right on the label. But did I get the message?
You bet.
No, I didn't. No, not me.
No, not you, boss.
No, now I have finally tried it, and that Ballantine Premium is great beer. I tell you, it is great.
That's right. It's great. Great.
Now, all
great.
This time, I've been missing out. Why did I wait, huh? What was I waiting for?
Because you're dumb?
Have you tried Ballantine since we improved it? Made it a premium beer? Ballantine Premium Beer. What are you waiting for?
Ballantine Premium Beer is the best ever. It's crisp, light, and delicious. Pick up a couple of six-packs today and let us know how you like it. Senator Robert Kennedy says credit buyers at department stores do not know enough about credit so they can, in the senator's words, make an informed decision. Kennedy says credit buying is a pretty complicated proposition, and it is, in his judgment, virtually impossible to figure the total cost of credit. Senator Kennedy urged the passage of legislation to make available to the consumer all the information he needs so he can choose for himself the best way of financing the goods he wants to buy. There's a lot of discussion in New York City today about the problem of the disruptive pupil. The United Federation of Teachers says that disruptive pupils must be removed from the classroom so that other children may be taught successfully. This is one of the UFT's contract demands. State NAACP President Donald Lee does not agree with the United Federation of Teachers. Lee says he can't go along with the UFT's demand that teachers be given the authority to suspend pupils who are classroom troublemakers.
We don't agree that there should be any flexibility in the standards that are set up for which govern suspension. We don't think that a teacher should be able to rule that, for an example, one child who spits on the floor will be kicked out of a classroom and another child who is jumping up and down and raising a lot of sand will not be kicked out. So, you know, it's just a question of interpretation by the teacher, and we want the responsibility to be where it should be, the Board of Education.
Donald Lee, the state president of the New York State NAACP. Let's go back up now for another traffic check with our WCBS helicopters. Here's Bob Richardson in WCBS Helicopter Number 1.
Okay, Charles, we've gotten over here now on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. That report of lane closings earlier that we had given you, we're checking out. Now we see that traffic is moving reasonably well down the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway southbound over the Kosciuszko Bridge, and I see it moving northbound, and I can see down into the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn, and I can see right on up to the Long Island Expressway. I don't see any significant slowdown northbound on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway, and there's moderate traffic flowing on it right now. So I guardedly say that you probably can use it, and I'll be down in the lower section of the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway for our next broadcast. The Long Island Expressway is moving through this area of construction in reasonably good form. We had a report that a left lane westbound toward Manhattan had been closed in the area of construction just before you do get to the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. I don't see any particular evidence of that, and I don't see any real long backup here. I would advise you, however, just to keep to your left as you come on through. It's getting onto the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway southbound from the Long Island Expressway without any great problem. So that's all the report I can give you on this situation on the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway right now. Farther out in Nassau County and up in Westchester County, we found roads generally dry and no lane blockages that we could see. So far, so good after a torrential downpour over the weekend. And now back to you, Charles.
Bob Richardson up in WCBS helicopter number one. He'll stay up there, listen to us throughout the morning, and you'll be able to get that unique vantage point on the traffic. The time now is 2 minutes to seven.
It pays to save at the Bowery, so start your savings account right away.
Save more and borrow less.
Save for your happiness. Save at the Bowery Savings Bank.
The next time you're tempted to put your savings in a speculative, sure-thing growth investment, so-called, take another look at the certain grow power of a compound dividend-earning savings account at the Bowery Savings Bank. With a savings account at the Bowery, your savings and dividends are always there when you need them. Instead of counting on the market to go up, you enjoy the certain grow power of compound dividends. The Bowery's latest dividend rate totals 5% a year, compounded quarterly. Dividends are paid from day of deposit if left to the end of the quarter. The Bowery, the nation's largest mutual savings bank, has paid dividends for over 133 years and is a member of the Federal Deposit...